This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Bruchim Abam. This is the final shir of Tavshin Pei Dalet. Haba Aleinu L'Toiva. Welcome everyone. The Shurman Sefer Devarim are generously sponsored by Dr. Zakim and Mishpachta. L'ilo Nishmas of Shem Eliezer ben Rav Yaakov Zakim, whose yard site is coming up on the first night of Rosh Hashanah. All the shirim the whole year are L'ilo Nishmasai. Somebody mentioned to me that when they go to Eretz Yisrael, they go to many Kivrei Tzadikim and the Kever of Shloima Eliezer Zakim, who put him on his feet, help him find a job, help him build a family, and he feels very indebted to. So it's a great honor that the shirim are dedicated to L'ilo Nishmasai. Tonight she's also L'ilo Nishmas Rav Kavat Tzvi HaLevi and Rav Dov and Rav Yaakov Tzvi HaKoyin. Tonight's shir is sponsored by Rabbi Yaakov Mizrahi, Hashem Shabi Mevarichim in his own Mishpacha, Shafa Bracha Vahatzlacha, Shana Toivo Masuka. Tonight's shir is also dedicated by Mr. Joseph Deutsch, L'ilo Nishmas, his grandfather's Yosef ben Avigdar, Moshe ben Menachem, V'gan Eden Tehemenu Chasam. They should be Melitza Yisharim for their whole family. We thank the Ribbono Shel Olam we were able to get together this year for Limud HaTorah in good health. May the Ribbono Shel Olam bless all of us for another year, Be'ezus Hashem, of good learning and happiness. Okay, let us begin with a very perplexing comment of the Medrash. The Medrash tells us, it's a Medrash Plia. Medrash Plia is not as of ancient origin as the Midrashim. Whether it's actually authentic material of the Torah Shebaal Peh, it's not like a regular Medrash, but what it is it's enigmatic ancient teachings, and you sort of have to decipher, okay, what exactly does it mean? It's like it's like a mystery, it's like a riddle. Medrash Plia, it's not a real Medrash. It's not like Medrash Rabbah, Medrash Tanchuma. It's a riddle, and in the riddle is encapsulated a hidden message. So one of the first Medrash Pliyos says like this, Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Voiker Yom Echad. And it was evening, and it was morning, one day. Oh, one day, Mikan Sherosh Hashanah Shnei Yomim. From here we learn Rosh Hashanah is 2 days. You like that riddle? That's the riddle. It says, Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Voiker Yom Echad. Oh, from here we learn Rosh Hashanah is 2 days. Okay, well, you know, so the Chidah, in a number of his farm, my friend Shragi told me, we came together tonight. He said, Rav Glassine, I think every time I heard you give shir, you always mention the chida. Could be, right? But you don't have to go too far. Second Mayor Makam on the sheet. The chida quotes this medrash, and he says that this medrash is discussed by the Karban Aroin, and we don't even have to spell out any specific questions here. It's obvious. What in the world is this medrash conveying? Vayihi era, vayihi voikar. Oh, one day, from here we learn Rosh Hashanah is 2 days. You know, what's that supposed to mean? Another question is, why does Hashem judge us on Rosh Hashanah? It's the seventh month of the year. So why does He judge us on this day? Shouldn't He judge us on the first day of the first month? Why the first day of the seventh month? What is it about the upcoming Wednesday night, Thursday morning? What is it about this day? What is it about the first day of Tishrei that God judges us on this day? Why does He judge us? Is it something happened on that day that from now on, God always judges the Jewish people? And actually, the Ran asked this question. The Ran in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, on Daf Tes Zayin, Bedafei Harif, in the Oiz V'Hadar edition, if you look at number 31, on the third line, V'yesh L'shal, Lama Adam Nidan Rosh Hashanah, Yoyser Mi B'Shar Yomim. So you say, well, you know, actually come to think of it, there are three other Rosh Hashanahs. God judges us for grain, and God judges us on fruits, and God judges us on water. Well, guess what? The reason why God judges us on grain on Pesach is because that's when it grows. And God judges us on Shavuos for fruits because that's when they grow. So it makes sense. God judges at the time that it's appropriate. When the entity comes to fruition, that is the time for its judgment. But what happens on the first day of the seventh month, randomly on the first day of the seventh month? Why does God judge us on this day? And the Ran says a principle that will be the foundation of tonight's share. It's something we're all familiar with. You know, we're going to say on Rosh Hashanah, Zikaron L'Yom Rishon, that Rosh Hashanah is a remembrance for the first day. For the first day? How is Rosh Hashanah a remembrance for the first day? It's not the first day of creation. The first day of creation is Chav Hei Elul. What happened on Rosh Hashanah? God created Adam Rishon. So how is Rosh Hashanah a remembrance for the first day? The answer is, when we say remembrance for the first day, it doesn't mean the first day of creation. It means the first day of man. Rosh Hashanah is a commemoration of the first day of man. Rabbi Elazar says, "B'tishrei nivra ha'olam." When Rabbi Elazar says, "B'tishrei nivra ha'olam," "Be'echad b'tishrei nivra ha'olam," the word "bereishis" are the letters "Be'echad b'tishrei." Yeah. It's not Be'echad b'tishrei nivra ha'olam. It's Be'echad b'tishrei nivra Adam. It's Be'chav hei Elul nivra ha'olam. It's Be'echad b'tishrei nivra Adam. And the Psikta gives us an account. The Gemara in Sanhedrin also gives us an account. In the first hour of Rosh Hashanah, it entered God's mind to create Adam. In the second hour, he consulted with the angels. In the third hour, he gathered the dust. In the fourth hour, he kneaded the ground. In the fifth hour, he put the flesh on Adam. On the sixth hour, he made Adam a unformed entity. On the seventh hour, he put a neshama into him. In the eighth hour, he put Adam into Gan Eden. In the ninth hour, he said, "Adam, do whatever you want. You could do whatever you want. You could talk by Chazar Sashatz. You could bring phones into the shul. You could do whatever you want. You could violate the cardinal sins. Just don't do one thing. Just don't eat from the Eitz Hadas." In the 10th hour, Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas. Can you imagine? God said, "Do whatever you want. You could eat treif. You could do anything. You don't have to eat gefilte fish. You don't have to eat matzo balls. You could even eat gebrakst. You could do whatever you want. Just don't eat from the Eitz Hadas." And within 60 minutes, he had consumed the Eitz Hadas. Can you imagine that? He could not resist 60 minutes. In the 11th hour, says the Medrash, he was judged. In the 12th hour, he was acquitted. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "What's today? Echad b'tishrei, zeh simin lebanecha." Just like you stood in judgment and you were acquitted, the Lashon of the Medrash, the Ran quotes, is v'yatzis b'dimos, kach asidin banecha liyos oimdim lefanai b'din b'yom zeh. Your descendants will stand in judgment on this day, v'yotzin b'dimos, and they will be acquitted. Actually, I'm going to throw something out. It's going to like reconfigure your whole mind. But even now, when God gave the Torah originally, Rosh Hashanah was going to be in Tammuz. You know about this? We once discussed it on a Parsha Shlach by the Zman between Mincha Marav. Originally, Rosh Hashanah was going to be in Tammuz, Yom Kippur in Av, and Sukkot in Elul. But because of the Chet HaEgel, we lost Tammuz, Av, and Elul, and everything was shoved to Tishrei. So the Chidah writes, it comes out good, because anyway, predating the scheduled Rosh Hashanah and Tammuz, Adam was judged in Tishrei anyway, so that was the date of choice, because it was already pre-designated. But it wasn't even given then. It was actually given a different month and then switched. That's Stama, interesting Chida. So says the Ran, the reason why we're judged on Rosh Hashanah is because we need to have a day of judgment that has a precedent that for a good outcome for us. So we know, you know, this is a good time to be judged. We had a good outcome the first time, and we're hoping for past performance being a bearing on future outcome. So the reason why Rosh Hashanah was selected for Echad B'Tishrei is because Adam was created on this day, he sinned on this day, he was judged on this day, and he was found innocent on this day.
Yet he was still kicked out of Gan Eden.
Even though, by the way, it wasn't like 100% acquittal. Because, in a way it was, because he was supposed to die. Originally he was supposed to live forever. God said, "You eat from the fruit, you die on that day." So God suspended his death for 930 years. So he got a pretty good outcome. I mean, that's as good as you're going to get. You know, if you go to court, you know, be happy with whatever, 930 years later, I would say it's a pretty good outcome.
You're supposed to live longer.
He's supposed to live forever. He gave 70 to David HaMelech. Yeah, okay. Let's talk about another issue. This is one of my favorite topics. We're going to have a new spin on it. We know this week's parsha, Nitzavim, we say, Atem Nitzavim Hayoim Kulchem, you stand today. We've spoken out in the past many, many times. There's a special name given to the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah. Whenever Rosh Hashanah is referred to in the Chumash, it is always called Hayoim. Hayoim. Where? Take a look at number 4 in Eiv. Vayehi Hayoim. It was Hayoim. Vayavayu b'nei ho'elohim. L'hisyatzev Hashem. The angels were standing by God. Says Rashi, Vayehi Hayoim. Oiso yoim shahaya Rosh Hashanah. The day that the angels tried to prosecute against Eiv, it was Rosh Hashanah. It was the new year. And what is the new year called? Hayoim. Or in Melachim. Vayehi Hayoim. It was the day. Vayavar Elisha al Shunem. Elisha came to the Shunem. The Zohar writes in three places, Kol makom shenemar vayihi hayom da yoima de Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, what parsha do we read every single year before Rosh Hashanah? Without fail, it doesn't matter. Ibriya or not Ibriya, I don't care what kind of year it is. It's a lunar eclipse, a solar eclipse. I don't care what happened. Election day, not election day. This is one of the only parshas that will always come out at an exact time. There is no other parsha that has ever come out the week before Rosh Hashanah than Nitzavim. Why? What is Rosh Hashanah? Atem Nitzavim Hayoim Kulchem. You stand Hayoim on Rosh Hashanah. All of you. Where do you stand? Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem. Before Hashem. Could you think of better words to describe the Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah than Atem Nitzavim Hayoim Kulchem? There nobody gets out of it. You can't say, well, you know, here's my card. I'm not participating in this one. You know, let me through. I'll do it a different day. The scheduling doesn't work out. Rosh Hashanah, Atem Nitzavim Hayoim Kulchem Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem. Says the Pardes Yosef, based on the idea that Rosh Hashanah is always called Hayoim. In fact, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld pointed out, there's a pasuk in Tehillim, in Parak Kuf Yotes, Lemishpatecha amdu Hayoim ki hakoel avadecha. Translate the words, in judgment they stand on the day because they're all your servants. What day does that describe to you? When King David says, in judgment they stand today because everyone is your servant, what day does that describe? Rosh Hashanah? The gematria of that whole pasuk is 861, Rosh Hashanah. The gematria of the entire pasuk, 861, Rosh Hashanah. By the way, you know Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld writes that if you take the Kriyas HaTorah, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, and the Kriyas HaTorah, the second day of Rosh Hashanah, and you add up all the words, there are 861 words. Gematria, Rosh Hashanah. Sometimes you wonder, you know, what's this? Utz b'choyroi, v'es buz achiv, v'es k'muel. What are these guys doing in the laning? How'd they get in? 861 words. What's the last word of the laning? Ezdach ambiyes ma'acha, ma'acha, melech al kol ha'aretz. So again, we see Lemishpatecha Amdu Hayom. It's a reference to Rosh Hashanah, or Hayoim Harasa Ilam Hayom Yamid Bamishpat Hayoim. Hayoim is the birthday of the world. Why was this day so? Why is Rosh Hashanah called Hayoim? Over the years, we've said many perushim. Fasten your seatbelts. Now, there are a lot of things we eat on Rosh Hashanah. Ira, what do you like to eat at your Rosh Hashanah table? What's your favorite siman?
Probably the pomegranates.
Pomegranates. Very good answer. Okay. Good answer. We eat a lot of things. Pomegranates. Marin. Yossi, what's your favorite item at the Rosh Hashanah Suda?
Same as the rugs.
Okay, we both like the ram's head. right? The sheep's head. Sheep's head, you have marin, you have apples, you have a lot of different things that you eat. But you know one thing you're not allowed to eat, besides nuts. Okay, I'm not going there tonight. We're not talking about the nuts. The Gra says, don't eat grapes on Rosh Hashanah. Don't eat grapes. And I know you're getting very nervous now. Don't eat grapes on Rosh Hashanah. Why? V'hatam al pisayd. It's Kabbalistic reason. So, you know, that's got to pique your curiosity. What exactly is this secret reason why not to eat grapes? So that, the Gra writes on the Maaseh Rav. So the Imre Shmuel is a parish on the Maaseh Rav. He says that it could be the reason is that according to the Zayar, the fruit that Adam HaRishon ate was a grape. It's Rosh Hashanah today. We're being judged because Adam was judged and he was acquitted. But he also sinned on this day. So you don't want to be eating grapes on this. This is not the day to eat grapes. So a lot of people have a minhag to eat raisins and celery, right? They make up some kind of ridiculous simen. I'm not sure you want to eat raisins. You want to raise, but the raisin, you know, comes from a grape. I'm not sure if a shriveled out Eitz Hadas is going to be, how that's going to work out. Now, the thing is, wine you can have. Thing is, there are other opinions what the Eitz Hadas is. There's an opinion it was a fig. Nobody ever said don't eat figs. There was an opinion it was grain. Nobody ever said don't eat grain. There's an opinion it's an esrog. Anyway, at this time of the year, esrogim are a fortune. Nobody's buying an esrog, you know? But it's interesting, of all the opinions that we avoid on the day of the first day of creation, it's the grape. But again, maybe because this is the opinion of the Zayar HaKadosh, so therefore this is the food that we avoid. So it's interesting. The whole setup... What?
Did you answer the first question?
Or I don't know.
How do we know?
No. Let me tell you something about how the shir works. Okay? If I have a question at the beginning of the shir, in all likelihood, I'm not going to answer until the end of the shir. That's just like general rules of the shir. Because if I answer at the beginning of the shir, then you tune out. So I ask the question, then I hold you in suspense on the edge of your chair until the end of the shir. That's like the general mahalach, you know? In general, you know, it's kedai when you set up a... You never answer the original question until the end. Okay. It's all a build-up, you know? Okay. So we see that there are a number of things we do. Not only are we judged on Rosh Hashanah to commemorate the fact that on this day, Adam Rishon sinned and was judged, but we also avoid the fruit that Adam Rishon ate. Rabbi Yeshua Lomikudna, you ever hear Rabbi Yeshua Lomikudna? Rabbi Yeshua Lomikudna is one of the all-time sharpest Gaonim in Poland, talking at the end of the 19th century. My great-great-grandfather was a student of Rabbi Yeshua Lomikudna. He helped publish Yeshua Ismalkai. This Lag BaOmer, I was in Poland, and I went to the city of Kutna, and I was looking for the kever of Yeshua Lomikudna, and it's just a big field. There's no kever there. And if anybody wants to do... There are ways to find where he was buried and to make a monument. If anybody wants to get involved in that, let me know. Rabbi Shula Mikunna has an amazing idea. Shula Mikunna says, where does the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar come from? Is the mitzvah to blow the shofar? Is the mitzvah to hear the shofar? The Rambam writes in about 8 places, the mitzvah is to hear the shofar. What's halacha if you steal tefillin and you put it on? Your yotze? No. What's halacha if you steal a cheftza shel mitzvah and you use it, you're not yotze. If you steal a shofar and you blow it, are you yotze? Avada. Because there's no mitzvah to blow a shofar. The shofar is not a cheftza shel mitzvah. The shofar is the instrument that produces the sound. The mitzvah is to listen, the mitzvah is not to blow. So why do you think we have a mitzvah to hear the shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Okay, this is not a politically correct idea. What are we going to do, you know?
Why isn't it considered mitzvah b'mei averu? If you steal a shofar?
Because the mitzvah is not blowing it.
But it's still a b'mei averu.
If you steal a hammer and you build a sukkah, it's not a mitzvah b'mei averu. Because the hammer is just a tool with which you built the sukkah. The shofar is just a tool that produces the sound. The mitzvah is to hear the sound. The mitzvah is not to blow. Says the Yeshua Smaka, what was the sin of Adam Rishon? That he ate from the tree? What do you mean his wife told him to do it? Oh, the sin was he listened to his wife. So he sinned by listening. So to rectify the sin of using his ears sinfully, we have to listen to the shofar. I don't comment on that. I'm just telling you what Yeshua Mikotna says. He says, by the way, look what he says, V'lazehi mitzvot ki ha-shofar Rosh Hashanah ki pagam b'shmiya ki shamata l'koy l'shtecha. You know, the Lashon of the Medrash is, he said no. Hischila miyaleles olav b'koyla uv'shofar yelule yolil, the Medrash says. It's like she hollered and yelled and cried like a shofar. Don't listen to the wrong shofar. Don't listen to the wrong shofar. I can't come to the shir. Why? My wife doesn't let. No. You haven't listened. You didn't listen to the other things she said. All of a sudden, you listen to your wife now? All of a sudden. Oh, now all of a sudden you listen to your wife. There's another interesting thing. You know, most people, today's generation, what do they eat for snacks? Junk. They eat polysaturated potatoes soaked in oil. Gushers. What in the world is that? Right? It's sugar cooked in sugar, boiled in sugar, and then fried in sugar. They don't even know what fruits are. Once a year, everybody eats fruits, right? When? The night of Rosh Hashanah. Everyone's eating fruits. People go to the store. They don't even know what the fruits are. Should I make a shechianu? Pal, you haven't eaten a pear the whole year. You didn't even eat a tangerine, an orange. You can make a shechianu on anything they put on your table. You wouldn't even know what a fruit is. Why are we eating so many fruits the night of Rosh Hashanah? This is just original idea. You know, the Shlach HaKadosh says, before Hashem told Adam HaRishon, "Umeitz hadas toy vara loy soichal mimenu," and from the tree of knowledge, good and bad, don't eat from it, God introduced it. "Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al Adam lemor, mikoil eitz hagan ochal toichel," eat all the fruits, but don't eat that fruit. Hashem didn't tell Adam, don't eat that fruit. He said, eat all the fruits, don't eat that fruit. Says the Shlach, eat all the fruits was a mitzvah saseh. Don't eat that fruit was a lav. So maybe the reason why we eat so many fruits the night of Rosh Hashanah is we don't eat grapes because we don't want to eat the Eitz Hadas, but we eat other fruits because we're sort of commemorating on this day God gave Adam the mitzvah of eating fruits. So in the Holy Sefer Shvilei Pinchas, or Pinchas Friedman, he advances a wondrous idea. Now I'm going to introduce this as follows. I sent the Shvilei Pinchas an email this week, and I knew he was going to call me because I knew this was not an email response. So I found this very... Okay, so I'm working on this idea this year. Davar Yafa B'Itai. Yeah, you heard about this? Connecting every parsha to the Zman of the year. We talk every Friday night in Shul, connecting every parsha to the Zman of the year. Baruch Hashem, we're up to Nitzavim. It's a big... Hashem gave me a good idea what to do next year. Also, a new, interesting thing. I saw in Reb Pinchas Karatzer something I wanted to use. Why the... You know, you notice the parshiyos closest to Rosh Hashanah are the shortest parshiyos of the year. Baruch Hashem. You know, because I have things I need to catch up in learning before Rosh Hashanah. I have a lot of things. And it works out. Put it this way, it works out for me. Nitzavim, Vayela, Chazinu. It's good. You know? Man, if this was Nasai or Kisa, it works out very good. Now, I think part of it, you know, they asked the Chida in the Berkei Yosef, it's Slicha's time. Someone who's a big Lamdan, should they say, well, you know, you could go to a 20-minute Slicha's, a 40-minute Slicha's. Let's say you could be learning. What's more important? More slichais or more learning? You know, where should I cut the corner? Should I give up on my learning? Should I give up on the slichais? Like, what's more important? You would have thought learning is more important. Learning is a bigger mitzvah. Chida said no. Chida writes, during the Zman Slichos, it's worthwhile to give up a little bit of your learning to say Slichos. Now, you see, the point of Slichos is to wake up earlier. You know, if you usually wake up at 6:30, oh, Slichos, I'll go to a later minyan, that's sort of like defeats. So you gotta sweat it a little. You know, you lose a little bit of sleep these days. But the Chida paskins that Slichos could come even at the expense of a little learning. So I would suggest a remez to this is during the weeks, you know, Atem Nitzavim Hayom is Gematria La'amoid L'Slichos. Atem Nitzavim, the Kadmoinim bring. The week of Slichos is Atem Nitzavim, to get up for Slichos. You think it's a coincidence? The week of Slichos, we have shorter, we have less Torah. Hashem's saying, look, these weeks, the Avodah is the Slichos, not the, you minimize the learning a little bit. But Rav Pinchas Karitzer, he said this idea, Kabbalistic idea. I didn't understand what it meant. He said something that sounds like during this time of the year, Hashem goes to sleep, and that's reflected by short parshiyos. I'm afraid even to say that. So I sent to the Shvilei Pinchas, what does this mean? It's a term, tarmiten, that Hashem, so to speak, is like resting, so there's less Torah. So he called me, and he said, nah, he started to write the email, but it was too complicated. So he said, it means like this. When we need to wake up on Rosh Hashanah, we got to wake up. The purpose of the shofar is to wake up. And in order for us to wake up, we have to realize, look what we did. Why Hashem seems to be, so to speak, not being alert to our plight. Hashem seems to be, like Haman said about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Haman tells Ahasuerus, you know, don't worry, we'll be successful, God is sleeping, right? The Gemara Megillah says that Haman told Ahasuerus, you know, don't worry, the God of the Jews is sleeping. So if we were to acutely be aware that God is sleeping, we would say, oh, he's sleeping because we're asleep, we got to get up. So God, so to speak, during this time of the year, wants us to feel how critical it is that we get up. So he shows us that we're really asleep by him, so to speak, going to sleep. And where do we see he's going to sleep? Because he's giving us less Torah. The parshiyos are smaller, as if Hashem is like, you know, he's laying lower. And that's reflective of the fact because we're half asleep. And when we realize that, we say, look what we've caused God to do. No, uru yishena mishinaschem. That's the reason why the parashiyos now are smaller. Understand that? It's a deep concept. He told me some other things. Okay, you understand the idea? The idea is we need to wake up. And when do we really wake up? When we think that because we're asleep, we've, so to speak, God only goes to sleep if it's a reflection of us. So God shows himself as if he's asleep to show us how sleepy we are so that we should wake up on Rosh Hashanah. By the way, there's a hanhaga that God turns his back to us. V'anochi haster aser panai b'yomahu. It's called achar ba'achar. Ach ba'ach. Achar ba'achar. But an amazing thing happens when God turns his back to us. See, when God is facing us and we're facing him, we're independent of him. He has a backbone and we have a backbone. Now, it's a little bit dangerous because we could run off, but God will only face us if he trusts us. But when we turn our back on God, he turns his back on us. And when that happens, there's only one backbone between the two of us and we're stuck to him. So very often, by us turning our back on God and him turning his back on us, he then injects us with greater kedusha. Hester panim will cause a higher repercussion of ruchnias, even more than face-to-face. Think about what happened in the last century after the Holocaust. Okay? We'll leave it at that. Anyway, So I'm just giving you an introduction because what I'm about to tell you comes from the Shvilei Pinchas.
Can a Baltakeya make a bracha of stolen shofar?
Yes.
But he says, L'kaya shofar.
Did you steal a shofar or something?
I just can't understand that.
Yeah, he could. A shofar is not.
He says, L'kaya shofar.
So no, he doesn't.
To blow, not to listen. So how could he use
it? Asher kiddushan mitzvaysav. Vitzivanu lishmaya kaya shahayfar. He doesn't say litkaya. Rabbeinu Tam says litkaya, but we follow the Rambam, lishmaya.
So he can use it. So
the Baal Tekeya could use a stolen shayfar. Your mother in law could use a stolen shayfar. Your sister in law could use a shayfar.
Listen to a guy blow?
No.
Why not?
It's a good kasha. I'll give you a shir on that. That's a very good question. That's a very good question. Because could a guy build your sukkah? Yeah. It's only a chumrah that he can't. Me'ikra then he can. So if a guy could build your sukkah because the mitzvah is not to build it, to sit in it, why can't a guy blow the shofar? It's a big kasha. Reb Chaim Brisker talks about it. Yeah.
You've only got one minute.
All right.
You've only got one
good. Okay. Let's move on. Says the Shvilei Pinchas, quoting the Tosfos Chaim, Reb Chaim Yosef, the Av Bezin of Pastin. He says, when Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, he was poigem in the names of Hashem. He was poigem in the names of Hashem. By the way, there's another Arizal. The Arizal says that when Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, he was poigem in the shame Shakai. He took the Dalet out of Shakai. And he took the Dalet out of Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. And when you come to the Beis Medrash in the morning and you go to the Deles of the Beis HaKnesses in the morning and you go to the Deles Beis HaKnesses in the evening, you put back the two Dalets. That's what the Nachash says. HaNachash Hishiani. Hishiani is the most bizarre word you'll ever encounter. Hishiani. Hishiani is Shakai without a Dalet and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud without a Dalet. Hishiani is a combination of those two Shemais without the two Dalets. But now we're talking about two other Shemais. The Nachash caused Adam Rishon to be poigem in the shame Havaya, and the Vav K of Havaya dislodged. It became Yud K, and the Vav K dislodged. And in the shame Elohim, instead of Elohim, it became Ela, and Yud Mem, the Yud Mem dislodged. You got that? The Yud K, Vav K, the last two letters dislodged. Elohim, the last two letters dislodged. Ah. So that means the Shem Havaya was Nifgam and the Shem Elohim was Nifgam. Says the Holy Rebbe of Skolia. You ready for this? The Holy Rebbe of Skolia says, when Adam made from the Eitz Hadas, look at number 17, Vayishmu es koil Hashem Elohim, they heard the voice of Hashem Elohim. The Hashem was screaming, what do you do to me? The Elohim was screaming, what do you do to me? You know what I'm missing now? Mishalech Bagan L'ruach Hayoim. I'm missing the letters Hayoim. I'm missing the Vav and the Hey. And I'm missing the Yud and the Mem. Vav, Hey, and Yud, Mem spell Hayoim. Hayoim are the four letters that Adam was Nifgam in the two Shemois of Hashem. This is what it means. Vayishmu, Adam heard, as koil Hashem Elohim, the voice, the cry of the Shem Havaya, of the Shem Elohim, Mishalech L'ruach Hayoim, and Adam had to hide, Mipnei Hashem Elohim. Look what he did. He destroyed the Vav Kei, he destroyed the Yud Mem. So what do we need to do on our Rosh Hashanah? We got to do some fixing. We got to restore the letters Vav K Yud Mem. What is Rosh Hashanah called? Hayoim. The word Hayoim spells out the four letters that Adam was Nifgam from the two Shemos of Hashem. So you know, Chazal say that at Kabbalah HaTorah, Vayihi Koil HaShofar Hoylech V'Chazak Ma'od. The sound of the shofar was very strong. What sound did they hear at Kabbalah HaTorah? A tekiya. So where does Trua and Shvarim come from? Trua, the Shvilei Pinchas says, Teira Vav Kei. They harmed the Vav Kei. Shvarim, Shever, Yud Mem. They broke the Yud Mem. Shvarim, Shever Yud Mem, they broke the Yud Mem. Trua, Tera Vav Ke, they harmed the Vav Ke. The job of Rosh Hashanah is to restore the four letters of Hayoim. Were these four letters ever restored? You know, the Arizal writes in the Siddur HaHari that not until the Akedah, not until the Akedah did these four letters make a comeback. The Ari says, look at number 24, that the reason why at the Akedah it says, Vayikra Avraham Shem HaMakoy Mahu Hashem Yireh Asher Yeyomer Hayoim. Now we could say Hayoim came back. The Vav and the K came back. The Yud and the Mem came back. And when we're finished davening on Rosh Hashanah, and we blew all the tkiyos and all the shvarims and all the truais, you know what we emphasize? Hayoim to Amitzenu, Hayoim to Baruchenu, Hayoim, we brought back all the missing letters of the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we were able to restore the Shem Havaya to its glory, we were able to restore the Shem Elohim to its glory. The Gemara in Beis says something very interesting. Okay, I might have to burst some bubbles now, but you've probably heard this before. The second night of Rosh Hashanah, people get very confused. It's a very confusing night. Right? Because, you know, the first night, you don't have to make any shachianos. Right? What do people ask the first night? Can I put pistachios on my fish? And do I have to make a shachiano? And the answer is, yeah, you can put pistachios on your fish, but you do not make a shachiano the first night. On a fruit, you make it in Kiddush. You don't have to make a shachian on a fruit. You don't need a new fruit the first night of Rosh Hashanah. Do you need a new fruit the second night? You don't need one. It's good to have one. You don't have to have one. You're still Jewish, even if you don't have a shachianu fruit the second night. Is it a halacha? It's not a halacha. Is it better to? It's better to. It's only taiv. Why? Because really, you can make a shachianu the second night of Rosh Hashanah like every other two-day Yom Tov. But there's an idea that Rosh Hashanah is Yom Arichta. It's one long day. Now the truth is, regarding Shachianu, it's not one long day. It's 2 days. It's only one long day that if an egg is born on the first day, you don't eat it the second day. That's the only thing it's one long day for. So if you have a lot of chickens living in your house, this is a very relevant halacha. I'm not going to ask any personal questions, but if you have chickens in your house, even stolen chickens, you can't eat it the second day. You could blow a stolen shofar, but a chicken, the egg that's born on the first day, you can't have on the second day. On a regular two-day Yom Tov, you could. If the first day is Yom Tov, the second day is not Yom Tov. If the first day is not Yom Tov, it wasn't born on Yom Tov. But on Rosh Hashanah, it's Yoima Arichta. What is the concept that Rosh Hashanah is Yom Arichta? So many years ago we said, because
judged on both days.
Because the 10 days of Aser Simei Tshuva are keneged the Aser Sadibrois, and Anoichi v'lo yiyah b'diburecha nemru. They were said in one breath. So it's like one day. That's Rabbi Yonasan Ibishitz. But you want to hear another Rabbi Yonasan Ibishitz, so that's what I'm here for. The Chida quotes this Rabbi Yonasan Ibishitz.
Are we judged on both days?
I'm not telling you yet. Okay, I'll tell you. No, you're not judged on both days, really. Some people are judged on the first day. Some people are judged on the second day. The first day is a more harsh judgment. The second day is a more tempered judgment. How do you know when you're judged? When you are aroused to cry, that's the moment you're judged. That's what that result says. So you think that's good. Because if I don't cry, maybe I'm never judged. Everybody cries. And if you don't cry, tears, b'mistarim tifka nafshai. That's what that Arizal says. There's Dina Kashya, which is the first day. That's the day that we read about the birth of Yitzchak, Midas Hadin. And the second day is Dina Rafya, temper judgment, and we read about Akedas Yitzchak. What do we know about the first Rosh Hashanah in history? Well, God created the light. And vayi erev, vayi vayker. There was evening and there was morning. But on the sixth day of creation, on that Friday, when Shabbos began, the sun did not set. So there were 36 consecutive hours of night. The Medrash says that on the first Friday of creation, when that first Shabbos came, Loi Shaka Oira, that special primordial light did not set. So there were 36 consecutive hours of day. And therefore, says Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, the reason why the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are considered one long day, because what is Rosh Hashanah? It's a reenactment, like the Ran says, of the original Rosh Hashanah in history, where Adam Rishon sinned, and he was tried, and he was acquitted, so we reenact that. We eat a lot of fruits, we don't eat grapes, we try to rectify the missing letters of the Shem Havaya and the Shem Elohim, and also, we legislate that Rosh Hashanah is parallel to that very first Rosh Hashanah in history when there was no sunset. So the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are considered Yoima Arichta, one very long day. In fact, the Chidah has an incredible remez, and you're going to say, I cannot believe I never thought of this. What does it say? Vayihi erev, vayihi voiker, yoim echad, vayihi erev, vayihi voiker, yoim sheni. Vayihi erev, vayihi voiker, yoim shelishi. Vayihi erev, vayihi voiker, yoim revi'i. Vayihi erev, vayihi voiker, yoim chamishi. And by Shabbos, it doesn't say Vayihi erev, vayihi voiker. Did you ever notice that? Did you ever notice it doesn't say, and it was evening and it was morning by Shabbos? It says Vayihi erev, vayihi voiker, yoim hashishi. It never says Vayihi erev, vayihi voiker, yoim hashabbos. You know why? Because Shabbos, there was no erev. How many times did you learn Bereishis? Did you ever notice that? Why doesn't it say, and it was evening and it was morning on Shabbos? Because it wasn't. It was 36 consecutive hours of day. And therefore, Rosh Hashanah is parallel and legislated and patterned after the very first Rosh Hashanah in history. Ah, says the Chidah, we've now unlocked the secret of the Medrash Pliya of how we started the Shir. The first question. The Shir began, Medrash Pliya, Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Voiker, Yoim Echad. There's a Raya that Rosh Hashanah is 2 days. Frek the Chidah, because it says Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Voiker, Yoim Echad, that's a Raya Rosh Hashanah is 2 days. It's like this. It says on the first day, Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Voiker. It says on the second day, Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Voiker. It says on the third day, Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Voiker. But it doesn't say on Shabbos, Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Voiker. Why? Because Friday and Shabbos were Kiyoyma Arichta. So therefore, Rosh Hashanah, we take 2 days and we deem it one long day. Rosh Hashanah is 2 days because it doesn't say Vayera Vayivoyker on Shabbos. What's significant about the fact that it doesn't say it on Shabbos? Because it says it on day one and it says it by all the days of creation. So the fact it says it by all the days and it doesn't say it by Shabbos, that's because we now make Rosh Hashanah, we take two of the days and it's deemed Yoima Arichta, one long day. But one more thing.
What does it say? Vayichu. Just Vayichu?
Vayichu.
That's it.
That's it. This is something we once spoke at many years ago, but it will take on a different meaning in this context. The Pasuk says, and the Baal Tokea, any Balei Toikea? Ashrei ha'am yohidehei sirua Hashem yarpanecha yehaleichon. Ashrei ha'am, not Toike trua, not Shoime trua, yoide trua. To know the Shofar. What exactly do you need to know? What happens when we blow Shofar? On Monday, we had a shir. I recommend listening to the shir again before Rosh Hashanah. If you're interested, I'll send you a link. A very powerful Ramchal. And the basic idea is the role of a shofar is there are two historic blowings of the shofar in our history. One was the blowing of the shofar on Kabbalah Satayra. One is the blowing of the shofar La'asid Lavai. The shofar magnifies the forces of good and destroys the forces of evil. The original blast of the shofar at Matan Torah did it, but not completely, and the Tekab Shofar Gadol will completely destroy the forces of evil. The bridge between these two shofarais is Tkiyah Shofar every year on Rosh Hashanah. It magnifies the Tkiyah Shofar of Kabbalah Satayra. That's why we invoke Tkiyah Shofar of Kabbalah Satayra and Masaf. And we also talk about the Tkiyah Shofar La'asid Lavai. What happens when we blow the shofar? The Zohar HaKadosh teaches there's an oilam, there's a world, it's called the world shofar. The oilam called shofar is oilam ha-tshuva, is the world of tshuva. In this world, it's the only place on earth that the sin of Adam HaRishon did not downgrade. You see, when Adam HaRishon sinned, he ruined everything. People don't live forever. People don't live long. People have to go to work. There's illness. There's suffering. The whole world was, you know, the whole world was downgraded. The whole world was niskalka, was ruined. He ruined man. He ruined creation. He ruined the Bria. He even ruined mitzvahs. He ruined mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are not as powerful as they once were. There's an idea, there's only one mitzvah that was unaffected by Adam Rishon's sin, Kibud Av V'Aim, because he didn't have a father and mother, so he couldn't ruin that mitzvah. That's why when Yaakov Avinu goes in to serve his father, so Yitzchak smells Gan Eden, because Kibud Av V'Aim smells like Gan Eden before the sin. There's one realm in this world that is unhampered, not ruined by the sin of Adam Rishon. That's the world of the shofar, which is the world of tshuva. When we blow the shofar, we are transported to a realm that transcends the sin of Adam Rishon, and it brings us back to Gan Eden Mikadem.
Did Adam Rishon do tshuva?
Adam Rishon did tshuva.
How did he see that?
He said, Mizmar Sheli HaMashabas. Adam Rishon did tshuva. He met Kayin. Yeah, Adam HaRishon did tshuva. We'll say it, and you'll see it in the Slicha is coming up. It talks about the tshuva of Adam HaRishon. The blowing of the shofar transports us to the realm of the world of the shofar, which is the world of tshuva, which transcends the sin of Adam HaRishon. So basically, on this day of Rosh Hashanah, we don't eat the grapes, we eat the fruits, we're mesakein, our listening, we rectify hayoyim. And the mitzvah of shofar brings us back to the way the world was on that original day, on the sixth day of creation, on the first day of Tishrei. When we blow that shofar, it's literally restarting the clock, taking us back to the first Aleph Tishrei in the history of the world. So you say, what is it about the shofar that brings us back to that pre-sin, the primordial era, before Adam HaRishon sinned? And I think the explanation is as follows. For how long did Adam HaRishon exist in Gan Eden Mikadem? Like an hour, right? The Ran said that in the ninth hour he was commanded not to sin, and then in the tenth hour he sinned. He wasn't there long. But he did exist in a state of unaffected by any sin. What did God do to him that he was on such a high level? Vayipach ba'ap of nishmas chayim. He blew into his nostril a soul of life. He blew. You know, the Rabbi Yonasan Aibishit says the shofar is reminiscent of a nose. I guess some people have longer shofarais than other. But the shofar is reminiscent of a nose. And the blowing of the shofar is a reenactment of Vayipach Ba'apa of Neshmas Chaim. God blowing into Adam his soul of life. And at that moment, Adam HaRishon was pristine without any sin. So when we blow that shofar, we're transported to a realm unaffected, that transcends the sin of Adam Rishon, because literally what's happening is we're reenacting another thing that happened on the first day of creation. Yeah, we don't eat the grapes, we eat the fruits, we rectify Hayoim, but we're being transported to a time before the sin. How? The blowing of the shofar brings us back to the moment of Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chayim. Actually, the Avnei Nezer writes, Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chayim, he quotes the Zohar, that when God blew the Neshama into us, the Zohar says, Kebal Toikea. So at that moment of the blowing of the shofar, we're going back in time to a time before the sin of Adam Arishain. So you better not eat those grapes, right? And we, at least for a short amount of time, are able to access that world of pre-chet Adam Arishain. And this idea is alluded to in many of the practices that we have on Rosh Hashanah, whether it's the fact that Rosh Hashanah is Kiyoyma Arichta, it reminds us of that very long day that the sun never set. We don't eat the grapes, we eat the fruits, we rectify the letters Vav K of the Shem Havaya, Yud Mem of the Shem Elohim. By blowing, listening to the shofar, we rectify the Kayach Hashmia, and by blowing the shofar, we're transported back to a time before the sin of Adam, Harishain, Began Eden, Mikedem. So we should all be Zoicha to have the privilege to be transported back to that realm of before the world was created, really, as tshuva is one of the seven things that was created before Hashem created the world. And I offer you my humble blessings. Lishnas Chayim V'Shalom Shana Tov Masuka. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. May the Ribbono Shel Olam give us Siyata Deshmaya. Bez Hashem, we hope for another year. Gesundheit. Thank you very much. Ksiv Chsim Atayva. Kol Tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.